Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Filmmaker Nanfu Wang knows exactly where she was 2 years ago to the date. On January 20th, 2020, she just arrived in China, having flown with her two-year-old son to see her mom for Chinese New Year. She says in her new documentary, quote, "This was the last moment I can remember when life felt normal." A few days later, Nanfu returned to work in the States, where she's lived for a decade, leaving her son to spend the holiday with his grandma. When she landed, she learned that Wuhan had been locked down and other cities were starting to do the same because of COVID. Her husband booked the first flight back to retrieve their child. As Nanfu monitored Chinese media, she saw nothing about the virus. On the Chinese news, it was business as usual and constant support of the government every time, all the time. Social media was a different story. There were videos of people gasping for breath, some dead bodies. Police threatening people with cell phones for taking video of the problems, hospitals packed. The documentarian in her took over, and Nanfu began a project that would become the film In the Same Breath. She used her network of camera people in China to enter hospitals, talk to dissidents, and show what was really happening in Wuhan, and how what happened there would be mirrored here in the States with disinformation and misinformation, making a horrible situation worse. Last time Nanfu Wang was on our show was for her critically acclaimed film, One Child Nation. Her new film, In the Same Breath, has been shortlisted for the Oscar for Best Documentary Feature. You can watch it on HBO Max. Nanfu Wang, welcome back to All of It.
Thank you, Allison. Thanks for having me.
At first, what did you think this film was going to be about? And then what did it become?
I was always clear, even in January 2020, that the film was political, that it was not about COVID, the virus itself, because of the previous films that I had made in China, all had political themes, and I had seen how the government covered up information, punished activists and dissidents and journalists, and it repeated the same thing that they did during the outbreak. To me, the film was going to show there was a lack of transparency and there was a deliberate misleading of information and how that had contributed to the spread of the outbreak. And yet little did I know in January 2020 that the outbreak would have spread it to the US. When I came back to the US, which is a country I've lived in for the past 9 years, and I consider my second home, and I felt I had preconceived notions about the democracy, the freedom of speech, and the advanced healthcare system of the US. So when I came back to the US from China, all my family in China and myself felt thankful that I lived here and thankful that things wouldn't happen here. And by March, we saw it wasn't true. And I started seeing the pattern of misinformation, disinformation, lack of transparency from the government, from the leaders, almost a mirror image as what had happened in China. And that had confronted me with my own biases. And I started exploring why this was happening in the US and why two similarly opposing political systems have made similar mistakes.
The film opens with a line that, you know, comes back a lot, and it comes back towards the end of the film, that eight scientists were arrested for spreading what were described as quote unquote rumors about a pneumonia like illness. And all the Chinese news anchors say it exactly the same way. And this was announced on January 1st, 2020. Why were they really arrested? And why did you want to start with this idea?
So on January 1st, the entire country in China and the world was celebrating. So people really paid attention to news like this. In the opening of the film, we had shown the president giving a very grand speech talking about the achievement China has made over the past year and how it has achieved its 50-year goal in advance. And little did I pay attention and to the news about 8 people being punished for spreading a rumor. And this kind of news and this kind of information became crucial when you look back and examine when did the government know and what they knew. Mm-hmm. And the government, the Chinese government, didn't disclose a lot of documents or information. So when the outbreak started and the quarantine in Wuhan happened on January 23rd, what we did is to trace back to November, to December, mm-hmm. to early January, and to find every information from the government, from people on the ground, from journalists, to piece together the picture, the timeline of when the Chinese government actually learned the information about the virus and what they had told people at the time. And that January 1st news became crucial because eight doctors had already warned people at the time. They had already known this was coronavirus, and yet the government told the entire country that was a rumor, and the consequences was mm-hmm. huge.
Part of the story, and you're very candid about it, is that you didn't even really understand how big the issue was at first. Can you explain why not and what changed your mind and how that factors into this film and its thesis?
When I was in China in January, and then I had heard about the rumor, the quote-unquote rumor about pneumonia, and I didn't really take it seriously because it was buried in the noise of so many news, and you can't differentiate what is really serious and what is quote-unquote untrue, unverified. And then fast forward to January 23rd, and when the quarantine became a shock. And that was, we looked back, and I talked to so many people in Wuhan, and they told me, even back in December, they already knew that something was going on. Kids are having fever, and classes were canceled, and schools were closed, and they became nervous. They started not wanting to go out, or people on the streets and the people who know the doctors would tell them, don't come out, don't take the subway, or wear a mask. And that was long before the government had warned people. And by January 1st, when the government came out and assured people that nothing was wrong, a lot of people I spoke to in Wuhan said that was the time that they felt reassured, that they let mm-hmm. their guard up. They felt, oh, it was actually okay, don't worry about it. So to me, it's important because in a healthy society, I think citizens are holding the government accountable and have healthy amount of skepticism. But because what the government did in both China and the US and in a lot of other governments across the world is they lost trust to the people. And from the very early on when we needed them to tell us what was going on, we didn't get the information. And now we're in a situation where the skepticism towards the government became not the healthy amount, but when it develops into a conspiracy. And then when, mm-hmm. on the other hand, when people's patriotism is taken advantage by the government. And I've seen a situation where China and the US both are treating it as a competition, as pointing finger at the other country did worse, or the other country was the one to blame. And I think what it did is it created a sense of hostility and hatred among the people, but the governments and the leaders were deflecting their responsibility.
My guest is director Nanfu Wang. The name of her film is In the Same Breath. In the film, we see medical personnel on the ground in China just doing their best, trying so hard to help people emotionally and with medical conditions, some of whom don't make it. And the cameramen that you deployed in your network of camera folks sit down to interview them. And many of them, they will say, is that camera on? Can you turn that off? I'm not saying anything. Or you just see in their eyes because they're all wearing masks. I'm so curious if you have any insight into what medical personnel in China, whose job it is, and they know it is, their mission is to save lives, you know, what's required of them to survive with the Chinese government watching versus what they've decided to do with their lives.
Yeah. So when I was making this film, I felt the most strict sense of censorship, and it's not only coming from the authority, but it's coming from individuals themselves. And among the healthcare workers, that was felt from the very early on when the camera people went to film. And it wasn't surprising. And I had talked to a lot of healthcare workers in China off the record. And in China, most of the hospitals, and definitely the hospitals that treats COVID, the people, the healthcare workers that I spoke to, the hospitals are owned by the government, and that's their career, that's their life. So speaking up or speaking to media that is not state media, not owned by the government, not approved by the government, oftentimes meant that they would face punishment, repercussion, similar to the eight doctors who initially spoke up, and they could lose their job, they could be sent to jail. And so a lot of people were concerned, and off the record, they would tell me like how they truly felt and how much they felt saddened by the situation, outraged. And in the end, only a few of them decided to speak anonymously in the film, and we have treated the voice, distorted the voice, and that was true as the funeral home workers, which in China, in Wuhan, the funeral homes were also owned by the state.
And they were told to underreport the amount of deaths.
Yes. So the one funeral worker told me was what he had estimated of the death toll, because in Wuhan, the official death toll was a little over 3,000 people. And the funeral home worker said that was way far from the truth.
And then in the film, and this is really, it's such an interesting juxtaposition, you turn the camera on the United States, and there's a sequence in the middle of the film, we're going to play a clip from the film in the same breath, when you were speaking to American medical personnel, nurses, who talk about being somewhat silenced early in COVID when they started to sound the alarm. We don't have enough PPE. What is this? How is the hospital going to handle the protocol for this? So let me play this clip. First, you're going to hear some news reports about people losing their jobs for speaking up early in the pandemic, and then a nurse named Adam, and then a nurse named Dawn. This is from the film In the Same Breath.
It sounded exactly like the way doctors in Wuhan were punished for sounding the alarm. It was a pattern across the country.
An emergency room physician lost his job after publicly criticizing the hospital's response to the coronavirus.
A nurse has been fired for posting a video online.
He was fired after expressing safety concerns to the media.
Hospitals are warning them not to talk to the media.
Nurses in one of our floors were wearing garbage bags because they were denied gowns. The moment you open your mouth, you conceivably could become a target, and then they're going to try to take away your job. People who were outspoken about PPE. That happened to another nurse, I think, further north in Jersey.
This is what they tried to make me wear. This surgical mask is the thinnest I have ever seen. It's like toilet paper. I had a few N95s at home. I would take one with me to work. A manager came up to me and told me that I had to take off my gloves and mask and that I wasn't allowed to wear them. And then I made the plea for her to let me wear it because I had promised my son that I would protect myself and him and my family while coming in to the hospital. And at that point in time, my supervisor told me that she strongly suggests I find a different career.
That's from the film In the Same Breath. So at the beginning, you said, you know, it reminded you a little bit of what happened in China. And then we see local leaders like former Mayor de Blasio and even Anthony Fauci saying, hey, don't have to wear masks. So my question is this, as I was watching the film, there is a difference between misinformation and disinformation.
Yes.
Right? And I think we need to make that distinction, that there's a difference between giving misinformation because the situation's evolving versus disinformation because I want to maintain my political power. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yes, absolutely. There is an intentional spread of telling people things that they know is untrue, and there is unintentional, that things they didn't know yet. But I think it's really hard to detect what they know and when they knew. Right.
And the hardest thing in the United States was those two became intertwined.
Yes. Yes. To me, as I was making the film, and the film ends in a place, and I still feel this way, in a pessimistic way about our future, because I felt the virus really wasn't the focus of the film, and it's mm-hmm. not my focus, my biggest fear either, because we know, even at the time I was making the film, I knew that there was going to be a vaccine. And then one day the pandemic was going to be over. And yet the underneath problems in both societies in our world currently about the misinformation and disinformation spread, which those are the more dangerous virus, mm-hmm. which is harder to detect, but spreads in the same way that coronavirus did. It takes one person as a host, and it could spread to 10 people, to 100 people, without being able to trace how it reached those 10 or how it reached those 100 people. And we don't have a vaccine for disinformation and misinformation, and we don't have a solution, and we don't even have a way of easily detecting it. And that's mm-hmm. something that I felt is more alarming in the near future.
Yeah, you say in the film, quote, "I have lived under authoritarianism and I have lived in a society that calls itself free. In both systems, ordinary people become casualties in their leaders' pursuit of power." Can you offer a solution?
I wish.
A first step, just as someone who has been steeped in this?
The first step, really, I think, to me, it is holding our leaders and authority accountable. Mm-hmm. And I think the other thing is also, in the long, long run, I think our societies should have media literacy education and should have more of those. Mm-hmm. because we were talking about there is a difference between misinformation and disinformation, and there is also a difference between people who control the narrative and people who consume the narrative. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the ordinary people that we see who are spreading information, they are the consumers. They got their information from people who they trust. And they then went and spread and, you know, retweet, repost, and tell another person. And I think sometimes when we look at them, it's easy to say that's the other, and those people are ignorant, uneducated, however we want to choose the adjective. But most likely it's those are smart people, just like you and me. And yet, because they receive information from different channels, because their educational background, because of their information sources that they believe is a different set of information that to be the truth. And I think that makes media literacy education really important, and the ability to discern what is propaganda, what is untrue, what is facts, or the ability to research to find out the truth is extremely important in our current time.
The name of the documentary is In the Same Breath. You can watch it on HBO Max. I've been speaking with its director, Nanfu Wang. Nanfu, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.